No plans this weekend? Hit up Slug Magazine's daily calendar and never have another Friday night in.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves. My name is Nick Johnson. I'm a fingerstyle guitarist from Utah County. My latest release is Diversion, which was released on March 17th, 2017. My first fingerstyle guitar, the first time I saw it was when I was 16 years old and I saw Andy McKee on Candy Rat Records on YouTube. And I wouldn't even touch an acoustic guitar. I was so much into metal and everything that, like, that was like a no-no at that time. Like, acoustic guitar was lame. But I remember seeing that video and just going, like, what? He's doing everything all at once. Percussion, lead, rhythm, everything. It was mind-blowing. I mean, that video went super viral. It threw Andy McKee into, like, stardom. I kept playing electric guitar until I was like 19. I started learning finger picking a little bit, but I remember even being in college and I could only pick with my thumb and my index finger. Like, I was super lame. I was super not very good. It really began when I was 21. I kept learning a little bit and then found out I was going to have a daughter, and it changed everything around. I'd get home from work and practice for like 4 hours or so at least, just trying to learn songs or trying to write and like just really try to take it seriously. And I'd never really done that in a band before. This past year, right after I released Diversion, I opened for a guy named Joe Robinson. And I didn't really know who he was, but I knew he had won Australia's Got Talent for fingerpicking guitar. And he was like 12 when he won it or something. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I was riding high off the Diversion release. And I showed up and played the show with him, and he blew me out of the water. It was not even close. And he destroyed me. There wasn't a lot of people there, so I was sitting like front row, and at one point he's like, hey Nick, check this out, and he played this song, and I was just like, what? So after the show, I was like, dude, how do you do that? Because we're the same age. I was like, how are you that good? He told me this story about Tommy Emmanuel, who for those that don't know is probably the best guitarist in the world. He told me a story because they'd just gotten off tour together, and he said that Tommy Emmanuel used to wake up at 6 a.m., every day while on tour just to play guitar before he would go do sound check later that day and play guitar all night. I put that into action in my own life, so now I wake up an hour or two before work, practice for an hour or two, even if it's just studying, whatever. On my lunch breaks, I try to like write out some chord progressions, just some music theory stuff, and then I stick to my like 6 p.m. to midnight, whatever, just trying to write and practice music. That's what I'm doing now. Finding like a good group of musicians to make a band successful was always super difficult for me. Finding the fingerstyle genre, it was something I could do on my own and progress as much as I wanted to. And I didn't have to listen to anybody. I didn't have to like ask anybody's permission or like, oh, like this or not. And it becomes a battle in my own head, which can be even worse sometimes, I think. I'm like, is this song even any good? Like, and I guess every artist probably does that. The thing that kind of sucks about it is it's a kind of a niche market, and from a business standpoint, there's only a handful at most of guitarists that can make this like a profession. There's Andy McKee, Tommy Emmanuel, there's maybe Antoine Dufour. Even some of those guys have day jobs, you know, and are teaching lessons. And so it's like, is there a future in this? Even to become one of the best, you have to put in so much time and effort. It's fun and I love doing it, but in the back of your mind, it's like, is this ever going to pan out? And so that's what kind of sucks. But at the same time, all I ever wanted to do was play guitar and in a band or out of it. And so like fingerstyle gave me an avenue to just play guitar and maybe make money at it. And I think that's all I can really ask for. When I first started writing in this style, it was like I had something to prove. I had to write something that was cool. I had to come up with some new technique that nobody had ever seen before, which I did and kind of gained some recognition, but you could tell looking back that it was lacking heart. Even I had to be like, do I even like these songs? I don't even really enjoy listening to super proggy stuff. I really enjoy listening to pop songs and a good melody. And like, you listen to the great guitarists, like Tommy Emmanuel's a great example. Almost all of his songs are in like a pop format. They're just brilliantly written. And so I feel like it's a good thing that I took a step back, started writing within my own abilities. It's been a huge turning point for me. And I started doing that, and then I realized, like, oh, what do I even like about music? I was like, oh, I've always loved metal. I've always loved rock and roll. Why? Oh, because grooves and anything to get your head nodding, or like headbanging and circle pits. And yeah, so I was like, why don't I just incorporate that into fingerstyle guitar? And that's where all the like heavy groove stuff came from, because I love doing that now. I almost can't not write with groove. And all I'm really trying to do is just write good songs, which is super subjective, I know, but it's like, for me, it has to kind of make sense musically, and the interesting parts need to come from an intended game plan of music, instead of just like, hey, look at all this cool technique I have, and I'm sounding like a fun hater that I never thought I would be, but that's, I guess that's the route I'm going. There's a lot of things that go into being a fingerstyle guitarist. I mean, nails alone, there are books written about it. You can talk to a classical guitarist and he will go off on just the way he shapes his nails. Even the kind of nails you have. My nails are real. I grow them myself. And I do that because it's free and I don't have to go to the salon and have them done. And that's, for those that don't know, that's a thing that guys who play fingerstyle guitar have to do. They have to go to the nail salon and get one hand done. So it takes commitment to the nail game. Kind of the simple musical things to do in a band become all of a sudden difficult aspects of the guitar, like just the kick snare sound. Boom. Hitting a kick drum with a bass note at the same time, it's pretty difficult to do. It was super hard for me to learn, and like, there's a bunch like that, like plucking a melody note and hitting a snare note at the same time, because that happens. So you have to become really good at that, and it's difficult to do. I was playing bars a lot, and I learned really quickly that you couldn't just play really pretty classical style music for the bar scene, or 2 seconds in, they wouldn't care anymore. And I learned that the hard way more than once. So I was like, how do I get these drunkards to pay attention? I was like, well, they love rock music and a backbeat rhythm, and so that's what I started doing. And almost instantly, the people started paying attention. The drunkards were like, huh? Oh, simple backbeat rhythm. I'm all about that. It was all up from there, I guess. Performing fingerstyle guitar live, it's pretty intense. I can't remember who coined this, but they said playing a solo guitar on a stage is similar to walking a tightrope with no safety net. And it couldn't be more true, because you're up there, everybody's watching, and at any point it could just crash and train wreck. And like playing in bands and stuff, I know from experience, because I used to be a way worse guitarist back then, if you mess up, your band can keep going and kind of cover up those mistakes. Like, oh, I left my tuner on, there's still music going on, and the band can kind of, you can fall back on them a little bit. With playing solo, there is none of that. If you miss one note, you can totally screw up the next, and then it just, boo, dive bombs in a hurry. It's bound to happen. It happens to everyone. And it's just all in how you recover. There's a graceful way to to screw up, I guess. A lot of improv skills have saved me, because I'll hit a wrong chord, and it's like, oh, just a jazz chord, you know? And then that'll lead back into, like, oh, if I can just finish out this bar, I can get back into the chorus. Overall musical skill helps, but yeah, performing solo live, it's a difficult thing that's taken me a long time of open mics and just playing out all the time to get up the courage to not really be scared and have the confidence to know, even if I do screw up, it's going to be all right. I've been watching Candy Rat Records videos on YouTube since I was 16 years old, and when I was 22, 23, I started making my own YouTube videos finally. It was mainly covers and like a couple originals here and there, and every single one I would send to Candy Rat Records, everyone, and I got nothing but crickets for years, years and years. Then I started writing for Diversion, and I was like, I'm going all in. Like, I want to make the best production I can possible. I want to write the best stuff I can possible. I want to make the best videos I can possible. And so the first song I released was Yeah, But Where's the Melody? I still don't know how that song turned out, the sound the way it does, because the studio version is super heavy. Dave Zimmerman at Noisebox Studios, the guy is a mixing master. And then I teamed up with Bradley Quinn Lever. He runs a photography shop down here in downtown Salt Lake. He agreed to do a video for me for cheap, but with top-notch gear. We had drones and everything. So the video turned out super good. That was my best song. And I sent it into Candy Rat through their email. Nothing back. So I didn't hear back from them, so I went with my buddies own a record label, Kevin Blake Goodwin, Travis Bowman, a label called Fret Monkey Records. They agreed to release the video, and I was like, okay, sweet, got a platform, you know. And then I think it was the next day, this woman, she friend requested me, and her name was Holly Poland. Oh, like Rob Poland, the owner of Candy Rat Records. I was like, oh, shit. Maybe she's scouting me, you know, like maybe she's checking out my social media. She liked a couple of my videos throughout that week. I ended up direct messaging her on Facebook. I was like 4 or 5 beers deep one night. Just like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to send it directly to the source. So I sent it straight to her. And then I think it was, yeah, the next day after that, she popped up a message that was like, yeah, we want to feature your video on Candy Rat Records. And it was like party mode, engage. It was like a childhood dream come true, you know, like have a video on the record label that I've always idolized. Like it was a big deal. And everything changed in a hurry. The day it released on March 17th on YouTube, it had like 20,000 something views. On Facebook, in one day, it had like 100,000. And I had hundreds of kids emailing me for tabs, because I was giving them away because I was so stoked. Yeah, it was crazy. And I've had a couple releases with them since, and they've all gone really well. The other day, I played with Lucas Dricagnoli and Antoine Dufour in Provo, and I probably wouldn't have gotten that chance had it not been for Candy Rat. Well, for sure, probably. But so I've been playing shows with them, and it's just taken me to like that little higher level. Like, I'm not up there with the Annie McKees and Tommy Emmanuels, but just a little bit more recognition, and it's definitely helped in the music world. The deciding factor to pursue this genre heavily was I was 21 years old. Yeah, I found out I was going to be a father. And with my longtime girlfriend, I was like, what am I doing? I don't know what to do. I've done nothing with my life. There goes my music dreams. And like a couple people that I look up to a lot and family members legit told me, well, there goes your rock star dreams, huh? And it was soul crushing. Like, yeah, you're right. There they go. That's it. I got to get a big boy job and like start bringing home the bacon, you know? For a few months, like, I was pretty down in the dumps, way down. With the help of a couple friends and a couple artists that made it big, I don't know, I remember just seeing what Royal Bliss was doing, and I'm like, those guys are from Utah, they have kids. I'm looking at Annie McKee, I'm like, he has kids, they can do it. And finally, I was just like, if they can do it, I can do it. And I made a decision. I feel like that's like a super defining moment, and decided to just go all in. And like, I'm going to learn as much as I can and try to write as hard as I can and just try to make something I love into a profession that's good enough to provide for my daughter. 6 years later, it feels like, oh, right now the sky may be the limit. Things are happening and cool stuff's happening. Finally, a door is opening, it feels like. You will now hear Yeah, But Where's the Melody? This song has a pretty good story. The guys in the fingerstyle industry always ask me about it. So the story is, it's based off the title. Obviously has a weird title, but one of my guitar heroes, he put a post on Facebook, and he's a guitarist that I've always looked up to, and he was blatantly bashing the percussive slaps and stuff. And it really irked me because he was one of the founders of that technique. And I'm like, dude, we got that from you. He was like, oh, it's just all flash. Like, you guys need to learn how to play guitar, actually. And like, looking back, there's a lot of truth in it. But like, coming from one of your idols, like, I took it personally. But in the comments on that Facebook post, one guitarist put, yeah, but where's the melody? And so I just stole that and decided to write this song. And it's just like the grooviest, nastiest riff I've ever written, probably. And the intro is Travis picking, and that's very intentional. You can find me on social media at facebook.com/nickredshred, instagram.com/nickredshred, youtube.com/shrednick11, and nickjohnsonacoustic.com. You can buy my 6-track EP, Diversion, on any platform, Spotify available. You can find it on iTunes. It's on Bandcamp if you want a hard copy.
92% of Slug readers attend community, arts, entertainment, and cultural events on a regular basis. More information available at slugmag.com.